So next week, we will begin a new series. We're going to be going through the book of 1 Peter together, and we're going to go through it more how we typically do and how we typically would. So we're going to be just going, you know, chapter by chapter, passage by passage each week. We're going to take a few times where we're going to have some topics that come up in the book of 1 Peter that probably aren't the main point of the passage, but I think just a good opportunity to talk about different topics that I think 1 Peter raises and that we see throughout Scripture, but sort of a few additional topical sermons as well from the book of 1 Peter. But we'll do it more in the traditional, you know, just next passage up. But we're calling the series, we're going to introduce it more next week, obviously, but calling the series Higher, because really I think 1 Peter, one of the beautiful things about, I think, the main theme of 1 Peter and what it just does, passage after passage, is it gives us a higher perspective on our life here today. And so oftentimes 1 Peter is thought of as the book for, you know, it talks a lot about suffering and God's purpose in suffering and trials, and that's certainly a major theme in the book of Peter. But really, even in that, it talks about what's God ultimately doing through trials. What is it? Why are we experiencing trials and suffering in our lives? There's a higher purpose behind it, and so that God is producing something within His people through trials. And so I think it gives us a higher purpose of the day-to-day trials and life here. It gives us, I think, a really wonderful vision and clarity is who we are as God's people. So who am I individually? What's it mean that I'm in union with Christ and to have a higher view than I think we so often have of one's union with Christ, and then a higher view of our corporate identity. Who are we as a people? And so often we can come together and gather on Sundays, and it can feel just right, so routine almost, and kind of ordinary in what happens. But God has a higher purpose, and I think He helps raise our perspective through the book. So excited that'll be next week, and we'll do more of an introduction next week as well. But excited for that. But this morning we're concluding our series on Proverbs called "God Pities the Fool." Now, we haven't gone through the book as normal, but we've really just taken selections and some of the major themes that we've seen throughout the book. And even this morning, it's going to be a little bit different as we conclude. So I want to go back to chapter 1, and a passage early on to kind of recap just one of the major themes that we've seen. But particularly, God's word is for everybody of every age, but particularly if you're often normally in children's ministry or in God's squad, you're the target audience of this book in a unique way. And I really want to talk to you in a particular way this morning, because obviously all of Scripture is for all of God's people. But the younger you are, the more this book is particularly for you, the more Proverbs is particularly for you. It is written to the young. And it's all about how do you walk in wisdom? And it tells us which paths do you go? What does the wise path look like in your life so that you can follow it? So I want to, particularly this morning, talk to each of you. So we're going to go back to chapter 1 where he begins this appeal of setting your life on the right path, of going down the right path in your life, and the danger of going down the wrong one. And Proverbs just does this time and time again, and it does it here. It sort of gives this A or B, and one is the path of wisdom, and the other is the path of foolishness. And he's appealing to you to take the right road in your life. And so this applies to each of us. This applies to each of us every day of our lives. But the younger you are, the more trajectory setting your life will go based on choosing the path of wisdom or the path of foolishness. So, passage ends in chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And so we're going to pick up in verse 8 in just a minute. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And so what we see throughout this book is that wisdom leads to life and flourishing. Foolishness is what leads to death and destruction. And wisdom and is not primarily about learning new facts and just building up a head knowledge, but applying what you already know, but that only comes from a fear of the Lord. So wisdom comes from a fear of the Lord. Foolishness comes from ignoring that. So wisdom comes from your heart and from a heart that fears the Lord. Sinclair Ferguson says, "The fear of the Lord is that undefinable mixture of reverence, fear, pleasure, and joy that fills our hearts when we realize who He is and what He has done for us." So wisdom comes from loving the Lord and walking in His ways. Foolishness comes from a heart that ignores Him. And so Proverbs, right, is so often, in this passage we're going to see it, Proverbs is very often black or white, right? It's this way or that way, and there's this giant contrast between the two. And to be clear, sometimes in life we are going to make choices, we're going to be at a crossroads where it really is that simple. Do I take this road or do I take that road? So I'm one of four boys, so I have three brothers, so four boys in our house. And growing up, I don't want to disparage us, but we weren't the brightest kids, right? So like one of our favorite activities to do was we were very active, and we were, you know, one of our favorite activities to do, we would just box each other. So you guys know what boxing is, where you just stand there and you just punch each other? That was one of the things we did. My mom, like, her only request is that we would go down to the basement. So we would time it. We'd have 12 three-minute rounds, and we would just punch each other, like, as hard as we could, all over we could. And I'm not going to say that affected us, but I'm also going to say we're not the brightest kids, right? So, like, there's just this reality of, like, this was our hobby, was we would just beat each other up. Except for my younger brother. He's like a scientist now. He was smart enough to, like, not do that. And so I was the younger of the three of us that were doing it. And so sometimes my older brothers would be like, you know, I'm really too tired to fight him, but you can go against him again. And so I would just take a beating time after time. But I say that to say, like, we're not the brightest, but there are decisions that are still really easy for us. About 20 years ago, I was traveling with one of these brothers, and we were traveling in a foreign country. We can't read the language. We don't know what's going on. And this is before Google Maps. We were driving in a car, and we came to like a fork in the road, and we had to go this way or that way kind of thing. And we didn't know which way to go because, you know, we didn't, you know, think of a map or something like that. And so we're driving, we're like, which way do we go? And we look to our left, and it looks like, you know, a normal road and, well, you know, just what you would think of as a road. And we look to our right, and there's just danger signs, and there was this, you know, X's all over the thing. And if you looked about 200 yards, it looked like it went over a cliff, right? And I just thought, I think we know which way to go, right? Like, we weren't sure because we didn't have the map, but it was like, I think even us, like, we can figure, we're not the brightest guys, but we can see what's coming, and we can take left, and we can go that right. We can go that way. So I just want to say, some decisions really are that easy in life. They appear that easy, but most of the time, our paths seem more difficult and more unclear and less certain and less obvious, right? Most are not as clear as, hey, should I go this way and keep driving, or should I go this way and fall off a cliff, right? Usually they're more difficult than that. So Proverbs is particularly helpful because it unmuddies it for us, right? It helps us see that life really isn't as complicated as we often make it out to be. So in our passage this morning, we're going to hit on one of the major themes of helping us to walk in wisdom, and that's to help us see the voice of your parents and their role in your life. And their role is good, and they are there to help you and to help us walk in wisdom. Wisdom listens to your mom and dad. So this is an appeal from Proverbs to lean in and listen to mom and dad, to obey your mom and dad, that they are, in a sense, the real-life caution signs going off of not this way, but go this way. So the main idea we're going to look at this morning is your parents and the path to life. Your parents and the path to life. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. So if you're able, if you could stand as we read God's word together, Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 19. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall find our houses. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. Well, you may be seated. Again, the main idea we're going to look at this morning is your parents and the path to life. And I want to look at that through three points this morning. And point number one is this, the priority of your parents, the priority of your parents. So who here has ever memorized a Bible verse? Who here has memorized a scripture verse? So, okay, I was hoping more would, but most people have memorized a memory verse, right, and have a scripture. But even, like, and most of you, I'm guessing, that have grown up in this church, that one of the first three verses you memorized was what? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? That's probably one of those verses that is just you've had at a young age. And even if you didn't memorize that scripture, right? Probably most of you have heard time and time again, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I want to be clear. I'm going to repeat that in different words. But children, you need to obey your parents. That's how you obey God. This Proverbs is saying yes to that. It's good. That's right. But in a sense, this is Proverbs' way of appealing to you to obey. This is, in a sense, why listen to your parents? Why do you obey your parents, right? So this Proverbs is in a sense, appealing to those of you who, if you're that person who's just like, hey, just don't tell me what to do. Tell me why to do it. Proverbs is telling you why to do it, why you need to lean in to mom and dad. So verses 8, verse 10, and verse 15, he says, my son. So three times, my son, my son, my son, listen. My son, hear. Right? Now, be clear, this would apply to both sons and daughters, right? So he's here, the image is that it's a father talking to his son, but this is really, you can think of a parent talking to their child. We need to see, this is coming from, this is the context, right? This is this lifelong relationship that the children have with their parents who, and this is, you need to listen. He's saying, son, listen to the people who, your parents are there. They love you. They protect you. They provide for you. This isn't just, hey, randomly listen to any adult anywhere and whatever they say, but this is, God has brought you into this home and he has brought you under their care and you need to lean in and listen to them. He says, verse 8, listen to your father. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. You need to listen to your parents. You need to listen to both of them. It says in verse 9, their teaching is a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And the image that this is meant to produce is similar to this idea of like this, it's like this honor that you wear. It's this beautiful, sort of almost like a crown of victory, in a sense, being given to you. So if you think of like an Olympic athlete who after they compete and do well, they're standing on a podium and someone puts a medal around their neck. That's the idea of what this is meant to do. Hey, their teaching is like this beautiful medal going around your neck. It's saying that's what their teaching is. That's what their teaching leads to. It leads to flourishing and victory and strength and success or honor. That's what they're looking to produce in your life. And as children, there's going to be times, right, where we think of as rules as restricting us or against us or just kind of annoying, right? But that's not the picture we have here. The picture we have isn't, boy, you're weighing me down with all this instruction you're giving me, but it's, oh, you're producing something good. You're giving me strength. There's honor in what you're saying. Godly parents are seeking your freedom and your good and your success. They're not seeking your bondage. They're preparing you for the fruitful path in life. They're not holding it back from you. Your parents love you and want you to succeed. That's why they're telling you wisdom time and time again. That's why they're setting up rules and a path for you to walk on. It's for your success, so that they produce something, so that something good is produced in your life. Listen, I know it can be hard to listen to parents at time, right? To obey parents at time, right? And I don't want to break any, I hope I'm not shattering any illusions of your parents, but your parents are actually imperfect. I'm glad I didn't hear a lot of surprise gasps. Your parents are fellow sinners. Some of you are old enough to know, hey, the same sin I have is the same sin my mom and dad struggle with, right? I want to be clear about your parents. The same grace you need is the same grace they need. The same new heart you need is the same heart they've needed, right? This is where your parents are at. But Proverbs is not saying, since your parents are perfect, listen to their instructions. Proverbs is saying, hey, God has installed them. This is their job. This is his plan and his purpose for your life is that your mom and dad, your imperfect mom and dad, your mom and dad who are fellow sinners, your mom and dad are there to instruct you and to give you wisdom and to point you on the right path. And we don't base the job description isn't because they're perfect in every way. It's that they're here in this role. This is God's design, and they are motivated. They want you to be on the course that leads to life, so you need to listen to them. And so we just need to see, right? And I didn't see this as a kid. It's hard for me to see this now, but it is overwhelmingly true. Listen, when I as a kid didn't listen to them, when I didn't obey them, it wasn't because of them, right? It wasn't because, you know, they're not perfect, so why should I even do this anyway? It wasn't because, you know, well, they didn't bring that in the most helpful way, so I don't really need to listen to it. Those were things I would, well, you know, if they had said that different, then maybe I'd listen to it, but they said it like this, so I don't listen. The problem is not with them. When we don't listen to our mom and dad, we don't obey, when we don't lean in, it's because of my heart. It's because of our hearts towards them. But ultimately, it's because of our hearts towards God that we don't listen. And so part of what Proverbs is calling you to do is trust God to obey and to listen to your parents. But that trust isn't based on your parents' perfection, but it's based on God and his perfect wisdom and his plan for your life, that this is what he has said you are called to do. And so part of an act of trusting God is I'm going to listen to mom and dad because I trust God and his perfection. And we need to see that they want you to walk the path of life. And even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't all add up, that disobedience and ignoring your parents is always the wrong path. It is always the path of foolishness. I think I've told this story before in different contexts, but shared again this morning. So I walk with a limp. I like to call it a swagger, but medically it would be more of a limp. And what happened is I broke my femur bone in eighth grade, so it was a bad break. I had a lot of nerve and muscle damage, a couple surgeries, rehab. Still, I have pain every day in my left leg from the break 30 years ago. And what happened was that it was a bad tackle in football, and as one of might say now, my leg was cooked, and the rest was history. So I got a bad injury, eighth grade, walk with a limp today, still in pain today. And it was this bad tackle in football that broke my leg, except for one other factor, was that my leg was a little bit weaker from 10 years prior to that. I broke my leg for the first time. I broke my femur bone for the first time. And this was a less virtuous story than football. And I held on to the ball. I was running with the ball, and I held on to it, which was sadly probably the highlight of my athletic career was I held on to the ball. But when I was 4 years old, I was coloring with my brother at the table, and a bunch of crayons spilled on the floor. And my mom said, "All right, stay seated. I'm going to pick up the crayons." And of course, I didn't stay seated. I get up, I slip on crayons, and this is how athletic I was. I broke my femur bone from slipping on crayons. I went down, broke my femur bone, and it didn't quite heal right. So 10 years later, it didn't quite heal 100% right. So when I was 14, playing football, bad tackle, snapped it, right? Pain for the rest of my life because I disobeyed when I was 4 years old. Now listen, was my mom trying to confine me? Was my mom trying to restrict me? Was my mom trying to say, "Oh, don't do this because I'm arbitrarily just setting some rule for you"? Or does she know, hey, you got a clumsy four-year-old. Yeah, better have him sit down so nothing bad happens so we can take, right? I live with a constant reminder and limitation because I thought I knew better than my mom. Listen, Scripture, there's lifetime consequences. There's reality that you need to listen to mom and dad. You don't know better than mom and dad. And I'll add, listen to godly grandparents and aunts and uncles and adults in this community. They are looking to give you wisdom in life, not hold you back. So your parents and the path to life, so the priority of your parents. Secondly, we see the peril of peers. The peril of peers. So we are called to lean in to mom and dad, and we're called to walk away from others, right? This isn't just generally listen to mom and dad. This is, you also need to not listen to certain other voices. So verse 10 says, "If sinners entice you, do not consent." Now, Proverbs uses the word if, like if sinners come to you. But I think one can safely say in our day and age and living in a sinful, fallen world, other voices will come. Sinners will come and try to entice you to follow their ways, to tell you that their path is better, to tell you that their path is better and different, and you don't really need what your parents have been telling you. And they will come and they will seek to cause you to do what's wrong. Now, sometimes it's going to be obvious. I think verse 11 is kind of an obvious example again, as the people who are coming, they say, hey, let's sit here and wait and ambush the innocent until they die. Like, let's just wait and lie in ambush, and then let's take the innocent and destroy them, right? And then we'll kill them, we'll take all the money, and we're gonna split it all up amongst ourselves, right? This one wasn't really masked very cleverly. Like, I hope you could see through that one. Like, if you have a friend who's like, you know, it's Thursday, why don't we go murder, right? I mean, I hope you would say, like, I don't know, right? I hope there's like a, I don't need more warnings about this one. This is a bad friend. If you have that friend right now in your life, just get rid of them, right? If they have murder Thursday, just take them out of your life now, right? And this example is pretty obvious, right? There's this desire to kill the innocent. There's this desire for dishonest gain, and they're calling it dishonest gain, right? They're coming, you're fully aware of what they're bringing. And we need to see in our lives, that's rarely how these voices are going to come presenting themselves to us. But the voices that are telling you, hey, what your mom and dad say, that's not a big deal. Or man, they're so strict. Or man, they don't really know what they're talking about. They're not giving you wisdom. The voices telling you their way is better than the way that's been handed to your parents and is now being handed to you. It's not a better voice. So that voice that's, oh man, they're just so annoying. Oh, man, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a better voice. But here's what verse 16 says. It's a voice that runs to evil. Verse 12 says it is from hell. Verse 17 says ultimately it's in vain anyway what they're doing. Verse 18 says they set ruin over their own life. Listen, you will be tempted to listen to other voices, but verse 19 makes clear what had happened. These voices lead to death. Their death and the death of those who listen to them. Now, it's easy, again, just to think, well, I just won't listen to these voices. Except for this, and we talked a lot about this summer in Summer Shades for those who were there, and Mr. Ziff talked a lot about this, but just as a reminder and for folks that weren't part of it, listen, the number one reason, humanly speaking, that people get off the path of wisdom in life is this. It's not because they follow the obvious, let's have my friends with those who have murder Thursday, let me wait with those and ambush the innocent. That's not what leads most people astray. But the number one reason people get off the path, particularly the younger you are, is for peer pressure, is because of the influence of your friends. Because we think in our minds that, you know, my parents don't really get me the way my friends get me. And you know, I think my friends are really for me in a way my parents aren't, and they can relate to me in a way that my parents can't. And what we start doing is we start listening to them instead of the voices that we need to listen to. And so often in what our friends say, there is some truth in what they're saying. And they are for you in part in their hearts. And it's easy because there is some truth and because they are for us in some ways that what they're saying is just as important. And it's easy to start thinking that it's more true than it really is and more wise than it really is. And so we start listening to them because we just think, well, my parents don't really get it. Well, my parents don't really get it. Don't get me. And so we start being pulled away by these other voices. Voices in school that might be telling you gossip and you know, hey, this isn't something I should be listening to. Yet it doesn't seem like a big deal when they're saying it. It seems like it's okay because, you know, I kind of like hearing it. And maybe the warnings against it from my parents are just a little overblown. And so I'm going to listen to that voice. Maybe that friend who shows you something on a screen that you know your mom and dad wouldn't approve of. But you think, well, what's the big deal? My friend isn't acting like it's a big deal. Or my friend says it's because my parents are too strict. That's why I'm not allowed to see it. It's not because it's for my protection. It's because my parents are too strict. And so I start watching that thing they're showing me. What's happening is we're slowly being pulled from the path of wisdom to the path of foolishness. I want to be clear, it's something good about when you have peers in your life who are your age that can be friends with. But if you're 16 years old, the main voice in your ear, the main voice of wisdom in your ear should not be a fellow 16-year-old. Ultimately, it should be this book, but it needs to be the wisdom of your parents. And this would be if you're 16 and 15 and 14 and 13 and 12 and 11 and 10 and 9 and 8 and whatever age you're at, 7 and 6 and 5, right? We don't need to primarily hear from those who are the same age as us. We need to hear from this book. And this book says, listen to mom and dad. Your peers, even at their best, are just at the beginning of the path as well. As well-intentioned as they may be, they don't have the wisdom that comes from walking this path with the Lord on the path of wisdom for years and years. And God's design is that you would walk this path that your parents have been telling, hey, walk this way, walk this. We've walked this path too. We understand the appeal over here. Walk this way. Walk this way. This is God's design to be your primary voice. So parents in the path, parents and your parents in the path to life. So we have the peril of your peers. Third, I want to look at proclaim the path. Proclaim the path. So far, talked a lot to those who are early on the stages of the walk on the path. I think that's, hope you see that's appropriate because I do think that's really who this passage is primarily written towards. But again, just for to the point, I want to talk primarily to parents and to other godly influences of the next generation in this room. Because I think we need to see something in this passage as well. See, this passage is calling those who influence the next generation to see two things. So this passage gives us two things. One, it gives us clarity on the goal, and it gives us how to reach the goal. So here's what I mean. So I think this places on us as parents, and again, others in this room who have influence over the next generation to be aware of what the goal is. What's the end? What's the main point of parenting? It's that children would walk in the fear of the Lord, that they would walk in wisdom, which is only done in relationship to Him. That's the goal. That's ultimately it, that they would have life and that they would have life eternal in Him, that their life would be found in God and that what they do would be flowing out of life in Him. So that means the goal is not worldly success or academic prowess or athletic achievement or good moral standards or a good job or children that, because of their behavior, they give you a good reputation. Many of these things might be fine to have. Some of these things are good to help cultivate in their life. But we're the ones that must bring clarity. There are so many voices in the culture that we live in of, hey, this is what's most important. We know what's most important. That they would ultimately spend eternity with God because they have a relationship with God. Now, recognize we cannot produce that. We cannot create that. We cannot do that. But this does tell us we can pray and we can plead and we can point to that. And we can point to that as the thing of utmost importance, as the one thing that most ultimately matters. So Proverbs is this clarity on that's the goal, that our children would walk in wisdom, that our children would live in the fear of the Lord. And this passage also tells us how, or at least one big way of how. And what's that? It's by proclaiming and by instructing and by pleading. Our children, right? This passage is reminding us that our children need more than just our example. Okay, they'll see me and hopefully they'll see something and they'll maybe, that's not what this passage is saying. It's saying that we need to proclaim the message to them time and time and time again. That this isn't something, right, we delegate off. Right? This isn't, all right, we delegate it off to children's ministry or to school or to pastors or to books. Like, I hope those things help. But we are called to instruct and to proclaim and to appeal. Right? We see that here, that it's not just, right, hey, okay, I told them this once, right? They should have got it, right? This isn't that. It's not, hey, I gave them a class on this so that it should be checked off the list. This is, right, don't you get the sense here? Don't you see it? It's just a way of life, right? Hey, hear me. Hear your father's teaching. Remember, don't neglect your mother's teaching. That's a time and time again. They make this appeal again and again and again, right? Three times in five verses says, my son, listen. Do not forget. So there's just this constant teaching, this constant appeal. We see here that the father would be aware, hey, there's going to be this wrong road you might be tempted to go down. There are going to be people in your life that come and say this. Here's what you need to do. So we need to be aware, hey, our children, here's the wrong voices you're going to be tempted to hear. So let me give you the better voice. Let me tell you the voice of wisdom. Let me tell you what God speaks into that. And so this is a day by day by day. This is a way of life that we are appealing. We are instructing. Choose this way. Not this way. Kids, if your parents are telling you the same thing a lot, it's not because they're forgetful, and it's not because they think you're dumb. It's because we are so surrounded by so many distractions. We need constant reminders of the one same truth day after day after day. So this is a call on parents to not grow tired, but to continue to be faithful, to continue to proclaim to the next generation. And that we proclaim, and our message is not, hey, here's the path of life. Follow all the rules. It's not primarily follow us. Though we want to teach rules, we want to hold the rules, we want them to follow us. But it's ultimately, hey, live in the fear of the Lord. We just need to recognize for them to live in the fear of the Lord, they need more than rules and they need more than knowledge. We need to point to and proclaim and plead with them. They ultimately need a Savior. That we're important messengers, but our message is not, hey, be like us who perfectly walk the road. We didn't. And they can't. What we need is a Savior. And we need to point to the one who recognizes, hey, listen, we need one who, we're not just saying, hey, follow all the rules, and if you follow the rules well enough, then you can walk with God. It's our message is that the only ones he allows, the only one the pure, transcendent, holy God welcomes are the ones who see that our hearts are broken from the inside out. And so I need a new heart and I need a new power, that we don't have the ability to walk this road on our own. So I need a new power giving me life, that I need, that my tendency is going to be to deviate off this road. So I need a new spirit that secures me, that I'm quick to wander, so we have one that we need to come to our rescue time and time and time again. We need to see that, listen, my story is that, right, and this is all of our story, as soon as I was old enough to walk, I ran the wrong way. And so we need one who comes and rescues us and redeems us and sets us on this path and then keeps us on this path day by day. And so we need to keep, the way to keep walking this path is just to simply keep following that one who saved you and secures you and how brings you on this path of life time and time and again. And so the good news is that it's not on us to perfectly walk the perfect path in our own strength, but that we recognize Jesus came and he came for us. He is the only one. This road is impossible for us, but it was walked perfectly by him and he walked it for us. And so what we're calling them to do is just trust in him time and time and time again. What we were singing about this morning, that, boy, I just want to trust in this one time and time and time again. So we need to instruct. The way we instruct on how to walk is by primarily pointing time and time again to the one it is who we're following down this road. So primarily what we're talking about is not what we are to be doing, but what he has done for us. Since we want to proclaim the path day by day by day, and we can have confidence that it's not our perfection that produces our calling, right? This isn't, okay, the perfect can proclaim the path, but we are confident that this is his design and that he is a saving God. And so we proclaim him and we appeal to life in him and joy in him day and day, day by day by day. We want to proclaim him and we want to say life with him is worth it. Life with him is hard. The path is still narrow. The path is hard. Yeah. But it's full of joy and it's worth it in every way. So keep turning to him. Mom and dad, we're gonna stumble along the path. Jesus never did. So keep looking to him. Keep looking to him. And so let us be those proclaiming to the next generation in our lives him and his wisdom and his ways alone. So your parents in the path to life. Let's pray. Father, would you give grace to the next generation in this room to lean into mom and dad, to listen to mom and dad, to see that life and death are at stake. That, Lord, you are not exaggerating the danger. Lord, that life and death are at stake. And so it could not be more serious, the command and the call. So, Lord, would you give them fresh grace to obey mom and dad, to lean in, to listen to mom and dad at the various ages in this room, as teenagers and as young children, to look to mom and dad. Lord, to where we see even their imperfections, where they see their imperfections. But it's not ultimately their perfection that I lean in, but it's Jesus Christ and our perfect God and his perfect plans. Lord, would you give much grace to the next generation in this room? And Lord, would you give grace to those who have the privilege of instructing and directing and help pointing the next generation, Lord, image bearers of you that you've called us to help instruct. Lord, would you give us much grace to keep centered the main thing, to not get sidetracked by secondary goals, but by your grace be pointing to you and life in you time and time and time again. So Lord, would you give us grace as we do so? Lord, would we not grow tired of proclaiming the path to life in you? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.